Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Tell Me Where It Hurts, The New Science of Pain, and How to Heal by Rachel Zofnis, PhD. DPH is a popular science and health book about why pain persists, why it is often misunderstood, and how chronic pain can be treated more effectively. Zofnis writes from the perspective of a pain psychologist and scientist, translating contemporary pain neuroscience into an accessible framework for patients, clinicians, and general readers. The book challenges the older biomedical assumption that pain is simply a direct signal from damaged tissue. Instead, it presents pain as a whole person experience shaped by the nervous system, emotions, beliefs, stress, trauma, sleep, social context, and medical conditions. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical to show readers that pain is real, even when scans or tests do not fully explain it, and to outline ways of reducing suffering by changing the factors that amplify pain. The result is a science-based guide to pain as a biological, psychological, and social process. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, pain is not a simple measurement of tissue damage. A central argument of Tell Me Where It Hurts is that pain cannot be understood as a direct readout of injury. Zofnis emphasizes that tissue damage and pain often overlap, but they do not reliably match. A person may have severe pain with little visible injury, while another person may have significant damage with surprisingly little pain. This distinction matters because many patients with chronic pain are told that normal imaging or unclear test results mean their suffering is not real. The book rejects that conclusion. Pain is real because it is produced by the nervous system, not because it always corresponds neatly to what an MRI, X-ray, or lab result shows. This reframing also explains why treatments aimed only at the painful body part may fail. If pain is being amplified by nervous system sensitization, stress physiology, fear, poor sleep, or social isolation, then injections or surgeries may address only one part of the problem. Zofnis uses this idea to shift the question from where is the damage to what is contributing to the pain experience. That shift is clinically important because it expands treatment possibilities without dismissing physical suffering. Secondly, the brain constructs pain from sensory and emotional information. Zofnis presents pain as both sensory and emotional, not as one or the other. This is one of the most important corrections the book makes to common thinking about pain. In everyday language, people often separate physical pain from emotional pain, as if they are processed in unrelated systems. The book explains that the brain regions involved in evaluating threat, emotion, attention, and bodily sensation all participate in the experience of pain. This does not mean pain is imaginary or voluntary. It means pain is an output of the brain and nervous system after they interpret incoming signals and context. Anxiety, depression, fear, and stress can intensify pain because they influence the same biological systems that help the brain decide whether the body is under threat. Conversely, safety, predictability, supportive relationships, and calm physiological states can reduce pain intensity. The implication is practical. Treating emotional distress is not a secondary concern or a sign that the pain is psychological in a dismissive sense. It is part of treating the mechanisms that produce and maintain pain. This view helps bridge medicine and mental health without reducing pain to either category. Thirdly, the pain recipe model makes chronic pain understandable and changeable. One of the book's distinctive teaching tools is the pain recipe model. Zofnis describes pain as the result of multiple ingredients combining in the nervous system. These ingredients may include injury, inflammation, genetics, stress, trauma history, sleep disruption, movement patterns, fear of activity, beliefs about the body, medical uncertainty, loneliness, and access to care. The value of the metaphor is that it avoids two misleading extremes. It does not say pain is only biological, and it does not say pain is merely emotional. Instead, it shows how different ingredients can increase or decrease the final intensity of pain. This model is especially useful for chronic pain because chronic pain often continues after the original injury has healed, or when no single cause can explain the level of suffering. By identifying ingredients that can be modified, the book creates room for action. A person may not be able to remove a diagnosis, but they may be able to improve sleep, reduce fear-based avoidance, rebuild physical capacity, address trauma, or change the meaning assigned to pain signals. The model also gives clinicians a structured way to discuss complexity without blaming patients or promising simple cures. Fourthly, the book critiques a medical system built for acute pain more than chronic pain. Tell Me Where It Hurts argues that modern healthcare often handles pain through a narrow biomedical lens. This approach is useful for many acute problems, such as fractures, infections, or surgical injuries, where finding and repairing tissue damage can reduce pain. chronic pain is different. It may involve nervous system sensitization, long-term stress activation, emotional burden, disability, and changes in behavior and identity. Zofnis criticizes the tendency to respond mainly with prescriptions, procedures, imaging, and specialist referrals while giving less attention to sleep, movement, fear, trauma, relationships, and psychological treatment. The book also points to gaps in pain education among clinicians, which can leave patients feeling dismissed when their symptoms do not fit a clear mechanical explanation. This critique is not anti-medicine. Rather, it argues that pain care needs to become more complete. Medications and procedures may help some people, but they should not be treated as the whole menu of care. The book positions the biopsychosocial model as a corrective to over-treatment of body parts and under-treatment of the person living with pain. Its challenge to clinicians is to validate pain while expanding the treatment plan beyond the exam room. Lastly, healing is framed as nervous system change rather than guaranteed cure. The practical side of the book focuses on reducing pain by changing the conditions that maintain it. Zofnis describes healing as a process of influencing the nervous system through behavioral, emotional, cognitive, and social interventions. This may include graded movement, sleep improvement, stress regulation, therapy for trauma or anxiety, education about pain science, rebuilding social connection, and shifting catastrophic interpretations of symptoms. The reasoning is that the brain and body are plastic repeated signals of danger can strengthen pain pathways, while repeated signals of safety and capacity can reduce threat responses over time. Importantly, the book does not need to claim that every disease is curable in order to argue that pain can improve. A medical condition may remain, but the pain attached to it may become less intense, less frequent, or less disabling when amplifying factors are addressed. This is a nuanced form of hope. It encourages active participation without implying that patients are responsible for having pain. The book's strongest practical contribution is its translation of complex pain science into steps that patients and clinicians can discuss together. A limitation noted by some reviewers is that its patient stories may feel consistently hopeful, so readers with refractory pain may need to interpret its optimism cautiously. In conclusion, Tell Me Where It Hurts is best suited for people living with chronic pain, clinicians who treat pain, therapists, physical therapists, medical trainees, and readers interested in the relationship between brain, body, and emotion. Patients may benefit from its validation that pain is real even when tests are inconclusive, as well as from its practical emphasis on factors that can be changed. Clinicians may find it useful as a corrective to overly mechanical explanations of pain and as a communication tool for introducing biopsychosocial care without sounding dismissive. Intellectually, the book helps readers understand why pain is not only a symptom, but an experience constructed through prediction, threat detection, physiology, memory, emotion, and context. Practically, it broadens the treatment conversation to include sleep, stress, movement, trauma, beliefs, and social support alongside medical care. Compared with many self-help books on pain, it stands out because it combines accessible neuroscience with clinical experience and concrete application. Compared with more technical pain science texts, it is more readable and patient-facing. Its main distinction is the balance between validation and agency. It insists that chronic pain is not imagined, while also arguing that the nervous system can change. Readers should not expect a universal cure, but they can expect a clearer map of why chronic pain persists and how whole-person treatment may reduce it. If you would like to support Rachel Zofnis VAFD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.